68, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to turn to a familiar verse of Scripture found in Psalms number 133. Psalms number 133. And I simply want to talk about today, what a fellowship. What a fellowship. The Bible says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. This is a wonderful, rich word that many of us use in welcomes and responses, special days and special programs, and we quote this verse, but there is so much depth and profundity to this verse and the other two verses that follow that I was unctioned to deal with this text because it is so necessary, especially for the church of God, the people of God, to understand how God wants us to dwell together in unity. One of the things God wants us to know is how important unity is in the body of Christ. We have individual parts to the body, but they are all joined in union together. But because they are in union together, it means then that we have a responsibility to operate according to the word, to the will, and to the way of God. It's important for us to recognize, brothers and sisters, that God has called us to a higher standard. We're not like the world. We're not like other organizations. We are an organism. We are a living part of a breathing being that constantly evolves. And when we recognize that we move and we live, and listen, we have our being in Him, then it's all about Him and not about us. We belong to the royal and holy family of God. And that means we've got to put our agenda aside. And we've got to stop looking and listening to what the world says and how they operate, and recognize that there is a kingdom standard by which God is expecting every believer to begin operating in and to grow into maturity, and understand that we must be a part of the body that functions like the body, so that God can receive the glory and we can receive the good. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus prays, make them one as we are one. Why? Because there is power in unity. Now let me just say this, because when we look at this story, many of us don't understand the power in this word unity. Because in searching out this scripture reference for sermonic presentation, I discovered that this word draws us back to the love of God. And when it talks about unity, it's talking about unity in the love of God. It is by the love of God that we are all bound together as brothers and sisters. That's why the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is through Jesus Christ that we have been brought back to the Father. It is in this same unity of oneness that we have our being in him. And so we must recognize, because God is love, and we as God's children should demonstrate that love, it ought to at least be done in the house if it ain't done nowhere else. It ought to be demonstrated among brothers and sisters of the faith. The family of faith should be the first ones experiencing the love of God. But how many of our churches do not experience that love? And how sorrowful it is that we come to church, and the place we expect to be able to find the love of God, it's scarcely found in many of our meetings. People look at you funny. They whisper under their voices. They talk about you. They criticize you. They do everything but love on you when you need it the most. That's not the way of God. So listen to what this word says, because I want you to see some things, and I'll just walk through it first again and get back to verse 1. It says, behold, focus in now. That's what the word behold means. It literally means to bring something far away up close. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, brothers and sisters of the faith, to dwell together. That word dwell means to abide in unity or in the love of God. You can read it like that and it would read well. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in love. That's exactly what it literally means. Now listen to what it says. And verse 2 goes on to tell us, because verse 1 talks about, and the word good, I need to throw out parenthetically, means proper. So how proper and pleasant is verse 1's focus, proper and pleasant. Verse 2 deals with how precious and plenteous, because it talks about it's like the precious ointment that ran from Aaron's head down his beard, all the way down his upper garments, down to his lower skirts. Now, if you've got an anointing that flows like that, you got to know you got plenty of anointing. But that anointing, listen, is represented in love. So keep in mind, when it talks about how like a precious ointment, it's talking about the love of God. Listen, He had represented the love of God from the top of his head, running all the way down through his beard. Now, when you talk about anointing and people being anointed, it's usually a spot, just a spot of oil that glimmers and shines when the light hits it to know that you've been anointed. But now look at when the ointment is poured on you, just dripping all the way down, all the way to the bottom of the skirt. That shows a saturation of God's love. That's literally what it's saying. We ought to be so full of God's love till we're saturated. It ought not be a little love here and there. You got to find the love. You ought to be, matter of fact, stuff can't stick to you because you're so saturated with the love of God. They try to hold on to you, and if it's anything that's not like God, it just slips off you. You do know that oil is slippery, don't you? You know, folk can't hold on to you like talking about when you're filled with the anointing, that you're filled with the oil of God, when you're filled with the love of God, because you ain't going to let it hold on to you, and you're not going to hold on to it. And you're careful about how you do things, how you say things, how you handle things, because of that rich anointing, that plenteous love of God. But verse 3 deals with something else. It deals with prosperity and profundity, because it talks about it's like the dew on Mount Hermon and upon Mount Zion. Now, Mount Hermon was a common mountain, but Mount Zion was a holy mountain. Mount Hermon was a place of civil society, but Mount Zion was a place of sacred society. And yet the dew on Mount Hermon and on Mount Zion was unified, listen, so that it replenished all of the moisture that the heat of the day, the dryness, the situations, the circumstances, the troubles, the issues had taken out. The dew refreshed it. It's like the love of God when all of the stuff has hit your life and things have gone wrong, and then you can feel the love of God come in and replenish and replace and refresh you like nothing. And no, can I tell you, he can love you like nobody else can. When folk come there trying to be phony, talking about they love you, this, that, and the other, and it doesn't work, you can feel his love. It's rich and it's real, and it's always there to take those things that are not like us, not for us, not with us, away from us, and he wraps us in the pureness of his love. And so then look at what he does. From there, he commands the blessing of life forever. That's prosperity and profundity. Listen at this. He commands the blessing of life. God does that in the abundance of his love. Anybody got a blessing with their name on it? You got to be in love with God, and God is already in love with you. And when we together in love are having a fellowship, God commands the blessings of life upon you. You ain't got to ask him for nothing. He just start commanding blessings to come, blessings to come, blessings to come. He knows what you have need of. But when you're so busy entwined into him and his love, he starts saying, blessings, I want you to be there when he comes back to this place. I want you to, listen, overtake him. Don't even let him get home without knowing how much I love him. And then he does it forever. That's the profundity of it all. That's how deep it is, how rich it is. Listen, God don't want no little bitty love for a short time. He wants it forever. He wants it to be a real, real love that's pure, rich, and eternal. Now let me get back to verse 1 so I can share with you what I'm trying to get to you. First of all, again, verse 1 says, focus in on how proper and pleasant it is. I need to tell you the word pleasant. Of the many definitions, one of the most fascinating ones, and it's certainly fitting for this verse, means sweet music. Sweet music. Now, this is a psalm. Keep in mind, it is a song. It is a song that is sung in the spirit of love. Now, you want to talk about sweet music? Well, I know you think sweet music is the stuff that people play in the world. Sweet love. Okay, I don't want to. You see, all that's sweet music to you. But sweet music to the Lord, listen, is different from that stuff in the world. When was the last time you wrote a sweet song to God? When was the last time you told him how much he loved you and it wasn't because he gave you stuff? I love you, God, not the stuff you give to me, but you for who you are. When was the last? The Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Well, where the new song going to come from? Who going to write the new song? The lover of God. You ought to be able, from your own experience with God, write a love song to God. To God. Listen, it may not sound like nothing else nobody else has written. And that's all right. Because it's your love song to God. It's out of the relationship you have with God. And I've got news for you. If you keep on writing love songs, they get better. They get better. They get richer. Why? Because God finds himself habitating in those love songs. Look, when you start singing that love song, he says, hold up. They singing my song. Ooh, sang son, sang daughter. That he made that song for me. She made that song for me. So pleasant in God's sight is sweet music. Listen, how pleasant now it says it is for brethren. Now this reference is to those of us who are brothers and sisters of the faith. It's not talking about people in the world. Our fellowship is not with the people of the world. It is talking about those of us of like faith. With the same calling, those of us who have been bought with the same price, with the same blood, by the same person, brothers and sisters with the same father. Now listen to this, how good, proper, and pleasant it is for those of us, brethren, to dwell. What does the word dwell mean? The word dwell means to abide. It's a compound word from do and well. To dwell means to do well. It means to abide in that frame of mind doing well. Our fellowship, listen, if we weren't doing good by ourselves, we ought to sure enough do good with each other. Why? Because together we're stronger than we are by ourselves. Did you understand what I said? See, I don't care how low I feel when I come in church, wherever there's two or three, it qualifies for God to come in the midst of that situation. And I ought to feel better just because you're here. and you're a brother or sister who can identify with my sorrows, my troubles, my struggles. And even if you can't, you can encourage me and take me to the one who's able to answer all my prayer, deal with all my issues, feel all my sorrows, and handle all my situations. And I've got you to pray with me for the breakthrough. So I should be better because you're here. You're here. My brother, my sister. And my brothers and sisters, I think I need to tell you three things about this fellowship that makes it so wonderful. Now keep in mind, unity here represents the love of God. Somebody say the love of God. When it talks about unity here, it's talking about God's love. What a fellowship in God's love. That's why you can't act ugly in this fellowship. Because ain't nothing ugly about God's love. That's why you can't act nasty in this fellowship. Because ain't nothing nasty about God's love. That's why you can't act like you some big you and there's a little me here in this fellowship. Because we're all made of the same substance. Listen, he's no respecter of any persons. Listen, in this fellowship, we are all brothers and sisters. Everything that thinks it's more than that got to check itself at the door. Ain't no place in here for it. Ain't no place in here for it. Now listen at this. There are three things that I want to tell you that makes this a wonderful fellowship. The first thing is, it says, again, dwell. Dwell. Now, if we're going to dwell, the first thing you got to do is be present. Somebody say, be present. Present is the first thing you got to be. You can't dwell if you ain't present. Oh, I was there in the spirit. Listen, too many spirits and not enough body make things spooky. We need your body. We need you to be present. We can't have a fellowship if you aren't present. It is less than what it ought to be because you're not there. And God has reserved a place for you. And when that place is empty, it lessens the fellowship. I want you to hear me today. Because God is expecting our fellowship of love to represent him. And there's nothing that we should put above him. Nothing. Nothing. Dwell. Abide. Abide. We've got to be as brothers and sisters who look forward to come together, to be one with the Lord and with each other. Listen, I can't tell you how important it is for you to be a part of the fellowship. Listen at this. When you stay home, your praise stays home. Your worship stays home. Your encouragement stays home. Your body stays home. Your money stays home. Oh, no, I send my money. Well, your money still doesn't take the place of you. So presence is important to the fellowship. But then it says dwell together. Now, together is based upon purpose. We are together for a purpose. We are present for a purpose. We don't come together for nothing. We don't come for an hour and a half or 2 hours on a Sunday morning just to be here together, just to look and see whoever else showed up. Our purpose is to worship and to praise God, to be brothers and sisters giving him the glory. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So the second thing that makes fellowship great is purpose. When you come to worship God, when you come to church, when you come to this fellowship, you have got to have a purpose. If you come looking for nothing, guess what you usually get? When you come without planning to give nothing, guess what you usually give? It's important to have a purpose. I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. Y'all remember the old church singing those songs? I come to lift him up. I come to shout for joy. I don't know what you come to do. Hallelujah. But I come to lift his name. It just says to us, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. So when I got here, Jesus was on my mind. So it wasn't hard for me when you said Jesus. He's a friend of mine. If you're talking about Jesus, hallelujah. You've got to come with a purpose. And then again it says, in unity, dwell together in unity. Unity is the last part, which means participation. I'm not present without a purpose, and lastly, without participation. When I am present with a purpose, and my purpose is for me to participate in the fellowship. Did you hear what I said? See, there ought not be anybody here who's not here to participate. A fellowship becomes great when every person present has a purpose of participating out of their own spirit the things that God has blessed them and done for them and shared with them and shown them, and they operate in that spirit because God has blessed us all.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast. James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers
for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brotnecks.